All right, we're glad you're all here today. Turn into the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. I'm going to get there in a second. So I want to talk about today, God using you. You say, me? It's like, yeah, you. With all your flaws, with all the things that, you know, we think of in the past, then God can't use me. And if you're a Christian today, God wants to use you. And maybe he hasn't for a while, or you've been struggling with other things, and I'm going to go through that. And that's where forgiveness is all about. And if you're not saved, I want you to get saved today and accept Christ. And God wants to use all of us. And you'll hear some people give their testimonies how God used people in their life to come to Christ. Obviously, each person must accept Christ for themselves. But God wants to use you to reach other people. Remember, the Bible is clear. It's more blessed to give than receive. We think the opposite, but it's not true. Just think, Christmas is coming up, and did somebody ever give you a Christmas present and you had nothing to give to them? You know how you feel? Like, did you ever buy something for something? I bought things for my wife, and it's like, oh, I got to wait 2 weeks to give it to her. It is more blessed to give than receive. And a lot of people are takers. Don't be a taker. Be a giver. There's nothing wrong to take if you need it, of course, but change your mindset. You'll be miserable all your life. You're always looking for people to serve you, to give to you. It's a life of misery. So in Acts chapter 8, we see a person here. People are going to get baptized in a minute. There's a scene of somebody getting baptized. And so you're going to see this man, Philip, and God uses this man to reach this person who will eventually accept Christ. And so I challenge all of you today that are Christians that God wants to use you. And I'm going to give you some reasons why in a minute, why we hinder that process, but hopefully you can get past that today. So what I'm going to look at is the process of someone, God drawing someone to salvation. What is that process in this text? And the first thing is God sending people to reach people. Look at verse 26, Acts chapter 8, verse 26. There's a Bible in front of you if you want to grab it. So verse 26 says this, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go towards the south, unto that way that goeth toward down Jerusalem unto Gaza." Now, Gaza was an old Philistine city, but it was destroyed in 93 B.C., and this is rebuilt, actually was rebuilt 3 years later near the Mediterranean Sea, which is in desert. So, God directed this man through an angel to go to, if you look at the beginning of the chapter, he's going to this man, but before he was going to the Samaritans. And the Samaritans, remember, were half-breeds. In 722, Assyria take over Israel, and they intermixed, and nobody liked the Samaritans. Nobody wanted to go to the Samaritans. Remember, Jesus said in John 4, I must need go to Samaria. The Jews would actually go around it and wouldn't even go through the city. So the first thing I want to talk about is that, are you reaching the Samaritans in your life? The people that no one wants to go to, the drug addict, the drunk, the prostitute, the person who has AIDS, you know, the person who's your enemy even. So at first I challenge you to reach those people that people just pass by. Listen, I go to the New Haven Green a lot and I witness to people. I met people on the bench with a master's degree. Listen to their story. I talk to people. So how did you get on this bench? Tell me your story. You'd be surprised at the stories. I was a physical therapist. These people started taking pain meds because they had surgery. And then the doctor gave them too much. He kept going. And the doctor cuts them off. And then they got to go to the streets. Or they lost their job. They got a divorce. Whatever the sad story is. And then they get hooked on something, whether it's alcohol, drugs. Lord willing, one day I'm going to start Haven of Hope. There's many addictions. There's food addictions. There's pornography. There's gambling. There's so many addictions today. And you have to be careful. I challenge parents, listen, be careful what your kids on your phone. They got the whole world in front of their phone. And you got to be very careful, even us as adults. But reach those people. I remember I had a guy in my house one time. He had AIDS, and he was, like, bleeding in the bathroom. I had to go clean it up. But I was like, hey, I got to reach this guy. But I also had kids, so I was always in a dilemma. You know, I had to protect my family as well. Eventually, there's people doing drugs in my basement. I had to kick them out because I could have lost the ministry. I could have lost my kids. So there's always a balance, right? You're trying to help people, but you got to be careful. But don't be so careful that you don't help anybody. And Philip was in Samaria before this. But I want you to see that God took him. There's many, many people in Samaria. God took him away from that to go to one person. Yeah, God is interested. God knows who's searching for the truth. And if you allow him, he'll use you to reach that person. So God calls all Christians, those who are saved, to go and witness to everybody. So this is a challenge today. Let me read some verses to you. Mark 16:15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem," that was a city, "Judea," that was the region, "Samaria," which we just talked about, and nobody wanted to go, "and the uttermost parts of the earth," that time would be Rome. So he says, listen, I want you to go. Maybe God's calling you to be a missionary. It says both, by the way. So you can do your Jerusalem, your Judea, the Samaritans. You can help other people. Support missionaries so they could go around the world. It says both at the same time. Romans chapter 10, 13 through 15 says this, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher?" Now, that's not just talking about me. It's talking about all Christians. And then verse 15 says, "How shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of great joy." So my question to you as you're a Christian today, how beautiful are your spiritual feet? Every time you witness, your feet get spiritually more beautiful. Now, my physical feet aren't really beautiful. I have my second toe sticks out more than my big toe. So you look at my physical feet, it's not good. But I hope my spiritual feet are more pretty than my physical feet. And so I don't know your spiritual feet. Every time you witness, every time you're sharing something, the Bible says, becoming more beautiful. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, lived in the 1800s here in America. He died in 1899. They once asked a man about his soul, and the man said, "It's none of your business." One of the things when you share the gospel, people are either going to go against you or they're going to come to the light. That's just the way it is. So the guy said, "It's none of your business." He says, "Oh, yes, it is my business." Remember Jesus said when he was 12 years old in the temple, "I must be about my Father's business." We get so caught up in our own business, I'm going to get to that in a second. We forget our Father's business. When Moody said, the man immediately exclaimed, he goes, "Yes, I am." He goes, "You must be D.L. Moody then." See, he was known for that. So I ask you, as a Christian, when was the last time you witnessed to somebody? You talked to them about Jesus. Your coworker, your neighbor. Anybody around you is around you all the time. When's the last time you talked to them about Jesus? I know this will be a little convicting, but I want it to be. When the church focuses all about themselves, even in ministries in the church, it's all about us and ministering to our needs, and we forget about the lost, that church is going to die. Going to die. I'm not saying those things aren't important, but if you're just focusing on yourselves and we're ourselves and we're not reaching people, the church will die. And so will you inside. So the first thing is God sending people to reach people. The second thing is a man is searching for truth. So there's people searching for truth. Look at verse 27. It says this, "And he arose and he went, behold, a man of Ethiopia," it's not current Ethiopia, it's actually south of Egypt, it's the ancient Nubai, a eunuch. So this eunuch here, as you will read on, it was over the finances of here, it says the great authority of Candace the queen. Candace the queen was a title like Pharaoh, it wasn't her name. "Of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures," so he watched over the money, "had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot reading," and at that time they read the Bible aloud, "Isaiah the prophet." And this man, you do a little geography, he was traveling 200 miles to find out the truth. That makes a difference when you think about that. 200 miles. So there's people searching for the truth, and God knows who they are, and God wants to use you to speak to them. Now, the Bible is clear that God is drawing people to himself. You know, you hear people say, well, I was searching after God. Yeah, he was searching after truth. This guy was not a believer. He was a God-fearing Gentile in a sense. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 says this. It is written that there's none righteous, no, not one. You know what? You're a sinner. We're all sinners. We're all no good. Humanly speaking, yeah, you could say I'm better than so-and-so, but in God's eyes, we're all sinners. Okay? It goes on to say, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are gone out of the way. They're altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one, in God's eyes, spiritually speaking. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. John 6:44 says, Jesus said, no man can come to the Father unless I draw him. So the Holy Spirit is drawing people. God is going to use you, drawing is you if you yield to the Spirit to go and talk to those people. I remember talking to Mike Northup Sr. when his son said, hey, could you talk to my dad? He was my neighbor at the time, and I went and talked to him and shared the gospel, and he was broken. He gives us a full testimony, so it's nothing I'm sharing that. You know, he was smoking pot. His marriage was going down, and he got saved, and God's changed him, and now he's a great witness. He's a deacon in the church. See, God was drawing him, but we all have to say yes. God doesn't go against your will. We all still have a freedom of will, even after we become Christians. So the third thing is the Holy Spirit specifically leads individuals to another person. Look at verse 29. It says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. Right? So God is drawing people, and the Holy Spirit is talking to me, talking to you, to go and talk to these certain people. So God knows who's searching for the truth. I remember this preacher, I was reading this story about this preacher who was he was driving in his car, and he went past a bus stop, and the Holy Spirit said to him, stop and go talk to that man by the bus stop. And you know, you ever done that? I've had this experience, you know? You're like, oh, do I turn around? About a month ago, I saw this lady sitting on a bench, and I think she was a distant relative, and I was driving, and I was struggling inside. Should I go back? I didn't go back. I'm just telling you the truth. He said he went back. He went up to the guy and started talking to him, and the guy said, I prayed this morning that God, if you're real, can you send somebody to me? Wow. Even us Christians, we pray for things, and God uses people to answer prayer. Now, he could do anything you want instantaneously, I get that, but most of the time he uses people. I remember the first service we had, Linda was driving in the van with some people, and she saw a guy walk down the stairs holding a Bible. He was from the Philippines. He was a nurse. He had just come to the country. He walked down the stairs and said, Lord, direct me to a church. Linda saw him walking, rolls down a window, you know, she's crazy, and says, hey, you got a Bible in your hand? Where are you going? He goes, I just prayed the Lord would show me a church. She opens up the door. He said, get in. And it was Jesse Villanueva. He became a deacon here, his family here. He's a strong Christian today. So listen, God knows he wants to use you, but are you going to be a sense enough to be used? That's the key. If he doesn't use you, he'll use somebody else. No one's going to stand and say, I'm in hell because Joe didn't. No, that's never going to happen. God will just use somebody else. You'll miss the blessing, and I will miss the blessing of being used. Warren Wiersbe said, late one afternoon, this was a preacher, he died a couple years ago, great commentary. He said, late one afternoon, I was completing my pastoral calling. I felt impressed to make one more visit to a woman who was faithfully attending church but was not a professed Christian. At first, I told myself that it was foolish to visit her later in the day since she's probably preparing a meal for her family. But I went anyway and discovered that she had been burdened about her sins all day long. Within minutes, she opened her heart to Christ and was born again. Believe me, I was glad I obeyed the leading of the Holy Spirit. So again, God is drawing people. He's using us. But the question is, will we go? Now, I want to give you four main factors that hinder the Christian from being led by the Spirit to witness. Here they are. Number one, we're focused on our own agenda too much. We're so worried about ourselves and our family, and that's all we focus on. We don't care about anything else. The second is a fast-paced lifestyle. Yeah, we're doing so many things. In the back of our mind, we really do want to be used of God. We do want to help people, but we're such in a fast pace, especially in the Northeast. We're in a fast pace that I remember at times, like, I'd go to Home Depot and go and see Mike get some things, and I'm like, the Holy Spirit, hey, talk to that person. We have them all the time, but we're like, I'm so busy. I got to get back to the church, you know. I got to fix the thing in the church. They can't even be good things. The third is a main one is the fear of man. The fear of man. Some sort of rejection. I don't want to be, we all don't want to be rejected. If I say this, oh, they're going to reject me in some sort of way. The Bible says we're accepted in the beloved. It doesn't matter who rejects you. Another thing is the loss of finances. If I do this and witness on a job, I say, just use wisdom. Hey, when I was a physical therapist, at my lunch break or after work, I can go witness all I want. They stopped me from witnessing during it because they used to give out tracts. They said, you can't do that. We're going to fire you. I said, okay. But on my lunch break or after work, can't stop me from doing that. Because we have good news. We have the best news in the world that you can be forgiven and go to heaven, and you have the power now to forgive. You can have peace, love, joy in your heart. Doesn't matter what's going on the outside. God's going to take care of you. We've got the greatest news in the world. Why we don't share it. One of the things is fear of man. And then someone's like, I don't know what to say. Well, you got to do two things. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman not be ashamed. So start studying the word. And then the Bible says in Luke 12:11, yield to the Spirit. The Spirit says, I'll show you what to say at that moment. Don't be afraid. Do you ever witness to people and all of a sudden you're saying all this stuff that you're like, I can't believe I said all that. The Holy Spirit brings it back. And the ultimate thing is physical harm. I always say you'll witness as far as you're afraid to lose something. And that's where you'll stop. It's the truth. There's people in Christian, they're risking their lives to share the gospel. You come here, sit comfortable, at least in America right now. Think about this first. Matthew 10:28 says this, and fear not them that kill the body, but not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. It's talking about God, we should fear no one else. Remember Peter? He denied the Lord three times. He walked with him. He denied him three times. I don't know the man. Why? Fear of man. He went on to be greatly used of God, don't get me wrong. And the fourth one is this. So we have the focus of our own agenda, fast-paced lifestyle, fear of man, falling away from a close walk with God because of sin. So watch, and it all happens to us. We start not having this close walk with God, and we're desensitized more and more and more, and then we have no really desire to tell other people because the sin weights us so much down, and the devil just loves that. He has a field day with that. So what's the answer to that? It's to repent, right? Don't grieve the Spirit. A couple verses on the Spirit. It says Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. The word grieve there means to sadden. So we had some memory verse, right? So when you yield to the Spirit, you still have the flesh that wants to sin. When you yield to the Spirit, you experience love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and you demonstrate that. That's why we have the ability as Christians to love our enemies. Think about who you hate the most. You still can love them through Christ. You have the capabilities of doing that. The next verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. It means don't put the fire out. Don't get the extinguisher out on the Holy Spirit. It's the idea of suppressing. Now here's a great verse that God told Solomon, if Israel goes away from me, this is how you come back. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, will heal their land. The only way back always when you sin is, Lord, will you forgive me, please? I'm going to seek your face in the word again. I'm going to pray. Get back to doing that. I don't know where you are. Did you spend time with God this week? Remember I asked last week, the guy who switched his phone time with Bible, right? And I asked a bunch of you, said, I'm going to do that this week. I saw a bunch of hands go up. I don't know if I'm going to ask you right now. Did it work? Did you do it? Did you wake up, instead of reaching for your phone, you got the Bible? Now, I know some people use the phone to read the Bible. I get it. But I hope you are. I hope you get on the Bible pathway reading the Bible this year. I hope you start memorizing verse every week. Just flood your mind with God. And what happens automatically is your desire to witness to people will start increasing. Automatically. Hosea 10:12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. It's like tilling the garden before you plant. If for it's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. James chapter 4, verse 7 through 10 says this, submit yourselves therefore to God. It's hupotasso in the Greek. It means rank yourself under God. Resist the devil, and he will flee with what? The word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. Verse 8, draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Listen, God doesn't go further away. You're like, where's God? It's like, you drifted. He didn't. He was always there. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Talking about over your sin. Your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Remember Jay Blue said, the way up is down. It's humility. You want to be up? You have to humble yourself. That's the Bible way, right? And you have to see, sharing the gospel is a privilege. It's an honor. You have the greatest news. Don't look at it as a burden, because you won't do it. Ephesians 3:8 says, unto me who am less than the least of all the saints, it's the Apostle Paul talking, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? The Apostle Paul said, nothing's going to stop me from witnessing. Acts 20:24, but none of these things move me. They told him before this, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be killed. He goes, I don't care. He goes, neither count or hold my life dear or costly unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I received the Lord Jesus. So here's the process. God sending people to reach people, men searching for the truth, the Holy Spirit specifically leading the individual to himself and you to come, and then men speaking about Jesus to others. Pick up in verse 30. Watch what he says. It says, and Philip ran thither to him, heard him read prophet Isaiah, and said, you understand thou what thou readest? He goes, you're reading Isaiah. Do you understand it? He goes, and he, again, this was a Gentile from Africa, said, how can I except some man should guide me? He desired Philip that he would come up with him and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. Now he's reading Isaiah 53. You can go back and read it. It's talking all about Jesus. It talks about he was a sheep to the slaughter, talking about going to the cross. Like a dumb lamb before his shearers, he opened out his mouth. Remember, Jesus on the cross could have said, you're all dead. He didn't. He was dying on the cross for you. He spoke it sometimes, but again, he wasn't to destroy people. He stayed on the cross for you. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? Of himself? Is Isaiah speaking of himself or some other man? And then verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth, began at that same scripture, talking about Isaiah, which is written 750 years before Jesus came, and preached unto him Jesus. So, no doubt, he was explaining to him all about, and I was going to turn there, but for the sake of time, I won't. Isaiah 53 talking about Christ, right? So in order for a person to be saved, the Holy Spirit must draw, but you must bring the word of God at the same time. And let me give you a couple of scriptures to understand that. 1 Peter 1:22 and 23 says this, seeing we have purified your souls in obeying the truth, that means receiving. You have to receive Christ yourself. You're not born a Christian. Through the Spirit's drawing you. Unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that you love one another with a pure and fervent heart. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So people have to hear the word of God. The Holy Spirit has to draw them. John 16:8, when he has come, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will prove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, in order for you to share the gospel, you have to know Scripture, so I'm asking you to study. We're going through a series on Wednesday night right now, how to witness to people. We talked about how to witness to the atheist, how to witness to, we're talking about Jewish people, Jehovah's Witnesses coming up, Mormons, all those different people. And I don't have time to go in to clarify all that, but a lot of it is they don't believe Jesus is God. And they don't believe, the other thing is that Jesus, not as the only way, but that you're saved by grace, not by doing good works. Those are the two main things that a lot of religions get wrong. It's only through Christ, through his work, and believing on him. Hudson Taylor, great missionary to China, said in October of 1857, Hudson began to minister in China. He led a Mr. Nye to Christ. The man was overjoyed and wanted to share his faith with others. He said this, "How long have you had the good tidings in England, the good news?" Mr. Nye asked Hudson. Taylor acknowledged that the gospel has been here for many centuries. He said this, "My father died seeking the truth. Why didn't you come earlier?" Wow. So what are the people around now seeking God around your life? What are you doing? Are you telling them? I know this is challenging. I'm challenging it today. People will die without Christ. John Wesley used to ask people, young men who wanted to preach the gospel, he asked two questions. Has anybody been converted, and did anyone get mad when you're witnessing? Because those are the two responses, right? That's exactly what happened. I remember one time I preached here. It was the anniversary service, and some people were receptive, and they took the message, and other people were like, I'm never coming back here. That's what happens. And the Bible's clear. When you shine the light, people either go to the light or they run from the light because they want to live in darkness. I hope you're not going to run from the light today. I'm hoping you accept Jesus if you haven't today. And if you have, I'm stirring you up to go tell other people. All right, so what's the result of God drawing people to salvation? Four quick things there and we'll close. The first one is personal salvation takes place. Look at verse 36. All right, it says, as they went on their way, there came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me from getting baptized? So what stopped me from getting baptized? And the answer is salvation. You got to be saved first in order to get baptized. Baptism does not save you. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus, remember, Jesus means salvation. You have to see yourself as a sinner. I need a Savior to get saved. Christ is the Messiah, and it says, is the Son of God. You must believe Jesus is God. So salvation is first, right? Jesus is the only way. And people say, that's a narrow way. No, everybody could come. It's not well, only a few could come. Everybody still could come. And people say, why is Jesus the only way? Let me give you a verse first. Acts 4:12 says this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men where we must be saved. And this is why. It's simple. Jesus is God. He is holy. He's the only acceptable sacrifice that the Father will take away your sins. He came and took on human flesh in order to die, because God can't die. There's nobody like him. Go find any other leader of any other religion. They're dead and their bones. You can dig up their bones. Jesus is alive. It's a resurrection proved that he was God. Romans 1:4. So you could say, I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a good person. I hear this all the time. They think, and I thought that for a long time, if the good outweighs the bad, I'm in. But I said, if your goodness can take away your sin, then you don't need Jesus. But it's not the acceptable payment. It's called propitiation in the Bible. He's the only acceptable sacrifice, the only payment that God will accept for your sin. It's not yours. You can't take away your sin. You can't do anything to take away your sin because that's works. You're saved by grace. It means unmerited favor. So you may be sitting here and think, I'm a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Jew. You have to decide to become a Christian today. You're not born a Christian. John 1:12 says, as many as receive him, then become children of God. You're born not of the flesh of doing things. other people say, well, I'm going to get into heaven because they're going to do this for me or this for me. Even, again, I don't bash anybody, but the Catholic Church teaches purgatory, which is not even in the Bible. That you're going to go to purgatory and people are going to have masses for you. They're going to pay money and then they're going to get you out. There's no such thing. It's all tradition. It's based on tradition. Either you're saved by grace. Once you die, you're going to hell or heaven. It's too late after that. You have to accept Christ. Please, I'm begging you today. Come to Christ. All right, the second thing happens is, so after a person gets saved, now public identification takes place, and that's verse 38. Look at 38. It says, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. So notice a couple things here. The purpose of baptism is very clear. It's basically, you'll see some people come after. It's not for salvation. You have to be saved in order to get baptized. The thief on the cross never got baptized. He went to heaven. He was never baptized. Okay? All it is you're coming forward publicly to say, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Yeah, you're publicly saying. It's one thing to say a private prayer and get saved. It's a whole other thing to step forward. Especially a Orthodox Jew today, a Muslim person, anybody who would come and say, I'm identifying with Jesus. A strong Jewish family would have a funeral for them. Even some extreme Muslims, and I get against Muslims. I know Muslim people. I talk to Muslim people. But extreme people would like, looks like we don't own him anymore. They would even go to the point of some people would kill that person. So it's a whole thing publicly to identify with Christ, and that's what baptism is. It doesn't save you. Unfortunately, there's other religions that teach, like, I was baptized 3 times. I was baptized as a Catholic baby, because what do they teach? Baptism takes away original sin. No, it doesn't. Nowhere does it teach that. So only the blood of Jesus can take away your sin. Then I was baptized a second time at a church that thought baptism was part of salvation. It has nothing to do with salvation. I was baptized a third time for the right reason. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 16:7. I baptize also the house of Stephanus, besides I know not whether I baptize any. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He separates it right there. Not with wisdom of words, like eloquence of speech, he says, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Mark 16:16 said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. People say, oh, see, you got to be baptized. Now the end of the verse says, he that believeth not shall be damned. That goes with all the other verses, you're saved by faith. All right, the third thing is pressure relief and overwhelming joy takes place after you're obedient. Look at verse 39, then I'll read verse 40 and we'll close. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. There is something about coming publicly and getting baptized and being obedient brings joy. Always in the Bible, when you obey God, it brings the right emotion. Always remember, biblical thinking always produces the right emotion. It's not the reverse. Don't live your life by how I feel. I feel this. I tell people, I don't feel like going to work today. I don't feel like going. Feel that every day. You'll be broke. So you can't go by how you feel. You got to go and do the right thing. And then you're going to feel the right thing. It's like serving. After you serve, don't you feel good after serving? Instead of being lazy, sitting there and everybody's serving and you're doing nothing. The last thing and we'll close. The preaching of the gospel continues to others. Look at verse 40. It says, then Philip went and found at Ashtos, and it's like 20 minutes north, passing through, preached in all the cities. So he kept preaching, and then he came to Caesarea. And we know, if we follow out history, he actually stayed in Caesarea for 20 years. So I believe he had the gift of evangelism, and some people, like a Billy Graham, those people, they reach a lot, right? But most people have that gift. They're in a one location, and they just reach people. And so I'm just challenging you today as a Christian. God wants you to reach people. It's that one person, it's a coworker, it's a neighbor, it's a this person. And God is drawing on, and it's up to you if you're going to say yes. You can't let fear stop you. You can't let the face. You know what you got to do? I've been getting more into health. You know me, I'm into health too. It's called circadian rhythm. You're supposed to, the best sleeping time is 10 p.m. to 2. And the more you get off of that, so I encourage people, go to bed early, get up early, so you can spend time with God. If you don't do it, you get out and push the alarm button, get out of the bed and just go, you'll have no sensitivity to the Spirit that day as a Christian. And you say, that's why I tell people, you got to go to bed earlier. Stay up until 12, 1 watching all this. You're never going to, I know it takes time, but set the alarm, get up, like, oh, I got to get up. Just get your body used to going to bed early and getting up early. It's actually the best thing for your body. Sleep deprivation is one of the worst things. It makes you crazy if you don't get enough sleep. I know we all have deadlines sometimes, but get back to spending time with God if you're a Christian. So Acts 4, 18 through 20 says this, and they called them and commanded them to speak, not to speak at all in the name of Jesus. So these religious leaders said, stop talking about Jesus. Peter and John answered unto them, whether it's right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God? Am I going to listen to you or God? For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. When it's boiling in your heart, you can't help but speak. Let's pray. All those getting baptized, go get changed. Let's pray. Everyone else, just bow your heads. You're here today. Let me ask you a couple questions. No one looking around. You're here, and I just want to ask you, first of all, have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? You're not born a Christian. You got to become a Christian. But in order to become a Christian, you have to first see that you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're a sinner. I could quickly say, have you ever lied? You ever stole? Of course, you broke the Ten Commandments. I've heard so many people say, I'm going to heaven because I follow the Ten Commandments. No, you broke them. You didn't follow them. You're guilty before God. And the Bible goes on to say, the other bad news is, the wages of sin is death. There's two deaths in the Bible. There's physical and spiritual. We're all going to die physically. Could be your last day. Could be mine. I don't know. But there's a spiritual death coming, and that's your soul. And if your soul isn't saved before you leave this earth, it's going to go to hell. And you say, wow, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter. The Bible teaches it. God is a just and a holy God. If someone killed one of your family members, will you just say, oh, I love everybody, everyone's going? No, you'd want justice done. God's the same way. Either you pay for your sin or you accept Christ. It's one or the other. No one goes scot-free. So you believe you're a sinner going to hell, you're going to accept Jesus only, not Jesus plus being a good person, not Jesus plus getting baptized, not Jesus plus doing anything. That's called works. You can't work your way to heaven. It's grace. You don't earn it. You have to turn and say, Lord, I'm no good. I'm going to turn and accept only you as my Savior. If you do that, here's what's going to happen today. All your sin is going to be gone. Like God takes the big eraser in heaven, wipes away your sin. The guilt of sin is removed. I do a lot of counseling. Guilt destroys people. There's only one way to get rid of guilt, and that's ask God to forgive you. And then you receive the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Love, joy, peace, what everyone's looking for. Trying to find in what? Money, people, position. If I could live here, trying to find it in creation. You can't find it in the creation. You got to find it in the Creator. Please come to Christ today. No one looking around you here today and say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm not 100% sure. I want to know. I won't call you out by name, but I want to pray for you. Just put your hand up, put it back down. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I want to be. I'm not sure. Maybe you're reluctant to raise your hand. You can come talk to me, talk to somebody else. Please accept Christ today. If you're a Christian today, I know it's a little challenging today. I've been witnessing. I've been so consumed with your own life. And so I ask you to sit back at the feet of Jesus. Ask him to forgive you. Let the word of God burn in your heart that you can't help but speak the things you've seen and heard. And God says, if we seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, he said, I'll take care of all the things you worry about. Your food, your clothes, all those things. Yeah, we have to work. We have to be diligent. But we don't have to worry all the time. So come to Jesus. If you're not saved, you are saved. Just surrender again. Get back, spending time with him. Father, we thank you for these people who are going to get baptized and not be ashamed of you. Thank you for your patience with me and all of us. We can't wait to see you one day. But until then, thank you for the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, that we can live in victory and not in defeat. In Jesus' name, amen.